Some of us come a long way here because we love your souls. 6,000 miles I travelled from Scotland to bring the good news of the gospel to you. Either, as my brother said, that you might live. Because life isn't common to you. I know, I understand that you exist. But life, that's something else. Bible, it says you, talking about Christians, not you. And you, Christians, hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. That's you as you come into the world. That's you as you were born by natural generation. Every single one of you. And that's where all your rage comes from. That's where all your anger comes from. That's where all your hatred comes from. That's where all the uncleanness that you want to promote here on your campus, that's where it comes from. Sinful natures that you got from your sinful parents, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to the first man. Death, the death in Adam that is yours, is manifest, is clearly revealed here this afternoon on your campus. And out of that sinful nature that you got from Adam, all the way back to the beginning, not just the first man, but the head of the entire human race. And now by natural generation, one after the other, sinful parents, unclean parents, beget unclean children, just like yourselves. Yeah? And you've got the same nature as your parents before you, and unless God, by my gospel, unless he changes, by his mighty power changes those natures, you remain as you are, unloving, unkind, angry, unclean, dirty, defiled, and separate from God. And I travelled 6,000 miles in an aeroplane to tell you how that could happen for you, how you could be changed, transformed in your nature, that is, because you have sinful nature, you see, the only thing that comes out of you is sin. It's sin, you see. You can't help yourselves, you can't do any other. You know, I look across your campus and I see hundreds and hundreds of young people and my heart goes out to you because I think, you know, all these children, they're going to hell. They're going to hell and they're totally oblivious to it, unaware of it. They're sinners to a man, to a woman. They were conceived in it, they were born in it. They live in it, they delight in it, they love it. That's why all you're coming to get. What?
What's
he going to
mean to say?
It's the truth. It's the truth. You hate God and you hate your neighbor. That's your nature. That's your natural state. You know what I mean? You know, what is a dog, you know, a dog, a natural creature, what does it do? It barks. Yeah? So you're a natural sinner. What do? You sin. That's all you can do. You can't do any other until God changes your nature. That's why my brother's telling you that you must be born again. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. What does he mean by that? What do you think he means by that? Have a guess. What do you think he means by that? What do you think Jesus means when he says you must be born again? Yeah, where'd you get that from? Not from your nature. You haven't got that. You haven't shown that today. You haven't shown that to my brothers if they've been preaching over there. You've not shown that. You've not demonstrated that. You haven't got love in you, respect in you for anybody, not even for yourself. It's not in your nature. It's not in your nature. All that comes out, every word, every thought, every action, everything you do, you never do anything good. God says there's none good and there's none who does good. None righteous, not a one. Until Jesus Christ changes that nature, there's no good comes out of you. None at all. That's why your love started me. That's why your love went. It's unnatural. That's unnatural. It's unnatural. Think about it. Think about your body, male and female. It's unnatural. It's not what your body was made for. Sodomy, homosexuality. It's filthy. It's an abomination. God hates it, and you love it. That's proof. That's proof. That's proof of your nature that you've never been born again. Only God can take the love of that out of you and give you a love for that which is natural, that which is good, and that which is holy. Because it's unnatural. It's not what God made you for. He made woman for man. What? It's unnatural, it's ungodly, it's hateful to God, and Jesus Christ came into the world to save. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? And it goes on to give us a list of what is unrighteous. Okay? This is what keeps people from the kingdom of God. Yeah? It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, that sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's boys that give themselves to men for toys, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're excluded from the kingdom of God. But it's because it's your nature. A woman is a homosexual. Why? Because he or she has got a sinful nature, a wicked nature that's contrary to God. But the good news is that Christ died for such ungodly creatures. That your end might not be hell's damnation. For the smoke of your torment will rise up forever and ever. Unless that nature of yours is changed, unless Jesus Christ, by his mighty power, transforms and changes your nature. But as long as you stand arguing against the gospel, against what Jesus Christ stands for, you will never, never enter God's kingdom. Humble yourself under the... Hey, boy, tell me, what age are you?
I'm 18.
18 years of age. You've not even been round the block half a time. Never mind once. Huh? You know absolutely nothing. Huh? You talk like you know everything, and you've not even been round the block yet. Get a grip. Listen to somebody that at least has been round the block a few times. Eh? You know, just because you're in a university, you know nothing but what you ought to know, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified for your sins, in order that nature, that vile nature in you might be changed. Because until your nature has changed, been changed, you've got no life in you. Here's the deal. This is what you've got, whether you like it or not, yeah? You're conceived in your mother's womb. Right at that very moment, that's where your sin life begins. And then 9 months later, you're born in iniquity. You live in sin and rebellion against God. No life in you. You don't live. You're not born and then you live. Yeah? You're born into a state of death. You just exist for a certain amount of time that God gives you, maybe 70 years, maybe not even 20 years. Yeah? But as long as God gives you in this world, you just merely exist. No life in you, no love in you, no joy in you, no goodness at all. None good, says God, none who does good, none righteous, not a single one, excluded from the kingdom of God because you're unrighteous, in your nature, in your very nature. It's not just your doing. Your doing is bad enough. You live contrary to God's commandments. You break every one of them. You break every single one of God's commandments every single day of your life. And God will bring you to judgment for that. So why do you do it? Why do you live contrary to God's standard? All sin that comes short of the glory of God. Why? It's not that you don't reach the target. It's not that you miss the bull's eye. No, you set up your own target. You set up your own target of morality, or rather immorality. Yeah? You say in your rebellion is against God, out of that simple nature, you say, no, God, I'm not going to do your marriage. I'm going to do sodomy. I'm going to do fornicating. I'm going to do filth and uncleanness. I'm going to degrade myself. Because you've got no respect for yourself. You've got no respect for yourself, no respect for one another, no respect for God, no respect for God's law. You set up your own target. But your target, you'll reach it, you'll get there. But it'll take you down into the damnation of hell. That's the end of your sin. That's the end of your natural born state and condition. That's the end of your sinful nature. Out of it comes nothing but sin. That's why your world's in a mess. That's why your country's in a mess. That's why your university's in a mess. Because it's full of nothing but wicked, natural born sinners that must, in order to please God, in order to avert the judgment of God, in order not to go to hell, must be born again. Not enough for you to become religious. You can do that yourself. You become all you have to do is say the words and you become a Muslim. That doesn't change your nature. That just makes you a Muslim. Roman Catholic, Worcester Society, the whole nine yards. 9,900 religions in your world today and no salvation, not a cent's worth of salvation in any one of them. Salvation is found not in a religion, in a person, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And He is the only reality. I am the way, the reality, and the life. Love and life and lasting joy found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You won't find love amongst one another. You won't find it inside yourself. You haven't got it. There's no love in you. You hate God. You hate your neighbor. That's your nature, your natural born state. You can't do any other until God changes you. God requires of you repentance towards God because you've offended God. You're an offense to God. And He hates your unrighteousness. He hates your sin. He hates your sodomy. He hates your fornicating. He hates your blasphemy. He hates your rebellion expressed here today. He hates it. But in His redeeming love, with repentance towards God, humbling yourself under His mighty hand and pleading before the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He would have mercy on you, that He would give you love, that He would give you life, that He would give you joy. Love is to be found not in the broken systems of this world. You don't find love in immorality. You don't find it in drugs. You don't find it in immoral relationships. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. Eternal, everlasting love. Love that will never let you go. Life, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But all you have in sin is death. All you have in sin is death. Dead in your trespasses and sins. Not a little bit dead. Not a big bit dead. Totally, completely dead. cut off from God in your sin. Death, death, death is written all over you. You're dead. No life in you. Life is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. And if you never get to Christ, if Christ doesn't save you, you will never, never experience life in all your existence. You'll go out of this world. You'll go out of this world into a lost eternity and into a state of everlasting death. I am come, says Jesus, that he might have life and have it more abundantly. Joy, joy, he says, happiness that no man can take away from you. Who does that joy, who does that happiness come from? It comes from knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Unless your name's in God's book, unless your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're for hell. You're going south, you're going down, and you're on that pathway now. The seeds of destruction were planted in your mother's womb, were planted in your soul, and you're on the pathway to destruction now. Many, many, the majority of you here on campus today, that's the majority of you. You're on the pathway to destruction, and your end is everlasting destruction. Hell's damnation awaits for you. Its jaws are wide open, waiting to receive you. Enter in at the straight gate, the narrow pathway that leads to life. Few there be, only a few there be that find it. The majority of you will end up in hell. I'm very sad to say, because you won't listen, because you won't hear, because you won't obey God's call. You won't do what Jesus tells you to do. You won't obey his admonition. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of his grace and love, the free grace of God that would liberate you, that would put love into your soul, life into you, and that would put joy into your heart. Take the hatred for God out of you, and the hatred for yourself, and the hatred for one another. Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ saves. Saves sinners. Saves those that humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, but only they. Today the gospel, today the truth, today the power of God unto salvation is broadcast here amongst you, that in hearing that you might turn, turn, turn ye, turn ye, turn ye, says the Lord. Why will you die? Why will you die in your sin when there's life to be had? Eternal life, everlasting life to be found in the Savior. Why will you die? Why would you want to go to the torments of hell, where the one never dies, where the flames never quench? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to continue in this state of rebellion in which you're in this afternoon? Why would you want to remain angry, God-hating, and men-hating people? Why would you want to stay like that? Why would you not want to change? Because you've got sinful natures in you, that's why. That hates God and hates your neighbor, that's why. And you can't change your natures. You can't change your natures. You can't do anything to make yourself good. You can't do anything to make yourself well. You can't do anything to get yourself out of the filth and uncleanness, and out of the sin, and out of all the chaos that you make of the world, all the chaos that you make of your campus, your university. One of your fellow students came by me and he said to me just a short time ago, he said, they are all absolutely crazy. Would you pray for me? Oh, I'll pray for them. I'll pray for you that God would have mercy upon your sin-sick soul. That God, by His mighty power, in spite of you, because if God ever saves you, it will be in spite of you. It won't be because of you, it will be in spite of you. And I pray that God, in spite of you, that God would awaken you to the reality.
Love thy neighbor, brother.
That God, that go. Oh, why don't you do that, son? Why don't you go and do that, son?
Are you standing on our fucking prayer?
Not possible. Not possible for you.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Not for you. Not possible for you, son. A wicked reprobate.
Fucking hell yeah, I am.
Like I say, friends, if God saves you, it will be in spite of you. It will be in spite of you. It won't be because of you. God, I pray, work contrary to your desires today, that He would smite your consciences and that He would awaken you to the reality of your sin, of the wicked state, of your natural condition, with your sinful natures, and that He would come by His Holy Spirit, and that He would surprise you with His grace, that He would melt your heart, that He would break them, and give you a sorrow for your sin, bring you to the cross of His Son, that you might cry out to Him, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy upon my soul, and save and deliver me from my sin and from the damnation of hell. Friends, we come to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus, in order that this condition that you see here today expressed amongst you, that's the condition that you need saving from. This is what you need salvation from. This is what you get from your parents. And this is what you will pass on to your children. The same damnable nature. Unless Jesus Christ saves you. Unless He delivers you from the wrath, the present wrath of God. Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the unrighteousness and wickedness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You say, where do I see the wrath of God? Right here before me this afternoon. This is the wrath of God, what He's given you over to reprobate minds, to do those things that are not fitting for animals to do, never mind human beings. That's what you need saving from. That's what you need salvation from. And Jesus Christ came into the world to save you from this condition. Jesus Christ came into the world. He lived living. He loved sinners. Dying, He saved them. Buried, He carried their sins far away. Rising, He justifies freely forever. And one day He's coming. A glorious day. And He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. And in that day you will stand before Him. And you'll give account for every idle word, He says, that you've ever spoken. And you'll give account for this day. And for your voices of rebellion against Him. You'll give account in that day. Before that day dawns. I bid you repent towards God, the one that you've offended greatly, just by being your offense to Him. That God would grant you repentance towards Himself, and grant you faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. and bring you to the cross. The only place, the place where it begins. For every sinner who's saved, the cross of Jesus Christ, where He shed His blood, where He took the curse upon Himself that lies upon you now presently, cursed to a man, to a woman, the curse of God lies upon you. The wrath of God hangs over you, waiting to fall upon you at any divinely given moment. I pray that before that comes, I pray that God would show mercy to you, the worst of you and the best of you. That God would be merciful to you, that God would turn you around, change your nature, give you a new nature, cause you to be born again, bring you to the cross, bring you to the place of repentance and faith, repentance towards God and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. God be merciful to you. Repent ye and believe the gospel, you man. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye, repent ye, repent ye and believe the gospel. God have mercy upon your never dying souls.